Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks for joining us here on this Sunday, November 23rd. Hope you had a great week. Can you believe it? It's Thanksgiving coming up this Thursday. We are already at that season. A couple things wanted to let you know. One is thank you to everybody who came or bought a quilt for our quilt auction last Sunday and soup supper. It was a great success. We raised over $6,200 for local missions and charities, and it was beautiful. It was a wonderful time together. So thank you for who came out to that. Tonight at 7 p.m. is our Thanksgiving service. We do it on the Sunday night before Thanksgiving. And what we have is we have four different people who come and share some of the things that they have been thankful for over the last year, or part of their testimony of what God has done in their life. It's a beautiful time to hear from our own people from the church. And then we have the quartet who's going to sing. We sing ourselves a couple songs together. And then we have communion. And we end the night with desserts and coffee, and it's held downstairs in our fellowship hall. It's a beautiful time to be together. Come out if you're around. The Christmas shoeboxes are due today, Sunday the 23rd here, so bring them on in. We're taking them in to the drop-off location tomorrow, and so bring yours in if you have them. I think there's over 100 boxes here already that people have filled up with gifts for kids all around the world. It's a beautiful thing. And then this Christmas season, one other way you can give that we're offering here at the church is we do these stockings. We have them in our foyer that the quilters made, and attached to every stocking is also an ornament with a particular gift on it for a foster kid in Lincoln. And so what we want to do this year is we have about 50 of those stockings, and so there's 50 different kids that are in foster care through Christian Heritage in Lincoln. And we want to have different families go home, buy that gift that's on the ornament that kid has requested. They've filled out a form or something of one of their wish lists. And so there's a gift on there. And you go buy that gift and wrap it, and then also fill that stocking with goodies or treats or whatever, and then bring it back to church. And then we have to bring them back, I think it is, by the second Sunday in December. And then we'll gather them all, we'll bring them down to the main office, and they'll send them out to the kids in our own community. And so there's many kids who are a part of that, and you could be a part of helping make it have a really special Christmas. So we have those stockings and gift ideas here at the church. If you would like to grab one, take it home, and bring it back in a few weeks, that would be wonderful. All right, on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, I have two scriptures that I'd like for us to read. So if you've got your Bibles, the first one is Philippians chapter 4, 4 through 9. Philippians 4, 4 through 9. It's a good one, maybe one that you've turned to a lot in your life. But it says this: "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. For the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." And then over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, very short. It says this: "Rejoice always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." So on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, I wanted to read these two beloved scriptures and just take a minute to think again about what they really mean. For God's will for us, it says, is that we would rejoice, pray, and give thanks. That our heart would learn to find joy in Him, even if we're going through a current tough thing. That we would be people who would still be gentle with those around us, even when they might not be gentle with us. That we would not be overcome by our anxieties, but that we would be a people who bring them all to our Father in heaven, knowing that He loves us. We are a people who pray. When faced with a big global concern or even a very personal family item, we are a people who pray, who take it to God. It's what we do because we know God and we know His heart and His power and we know that He's with us. The Bible says that God is close to the brokenhearted and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. Or as our scripture in Philippians 4 says today, know that the Lord is near you. He is the shepherd who goes before and behind you. He's always watching over you in your situation, and He's leading us. He is our Father who knows what we need before we even ask. He is our Savior who's already given His life for our every sin, and we bear it no more. And there is nothing in this world that can ever separate us from His love. If for nothing more than even just that, we got reason to be thankful today, don't we? Because we are His. And He is ours. I think of Lamentations 3:19, where it says, I remember my affliction and my wanderings, the bitterness and the gall, I well remember them. And even now my soul can turn downcast. Yet it says, this I call to mind. This I choose to think about. This I bring to the forefront of my mind, that because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. In all of the thoughts that can swim around in my head, He says, I bring this to the forefront, that God is good and that He loves me. This verse is similar to our scripture for today, that we are not a people who deny pain or suffering or evil or when things are not going great. No. Our Savior said, in this world, there's going to be trouble. We don't pretend like there isn't. We aren't a people who never gets down or sad or worried or upset. We do. But it is just that we are a people who won't be consumed by them. We're a people who choose to bring to the forefront of our mind that which is good and right and lovely and pure. And we would continue to rejoice in our Lord. Even in the tough times, we are a people who continue to praise the goodness of our God, no matter what is currently happening, because God is still good. We are a people who choose to be kind and loving and gentle, even when others aren't, because this is who we are, because this is who our Savior is. We're a people who continue to bring our every anxiety to God, knowing nothing is too much for Him. And we do it all with a thankful heart. Because there's much to still be thankful for. Our Lord invites us to come to Him. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Our God invites us in all things to come to Him. And so this is what we do. This is who we are. This is how we deal with life. This is how we make it and rise above. We're not a people who deny pain, but we're a people who rejoice in the Lord, who are gentle and full of grace to others, who are not anxious because we know God is near, and we take it to Him in prayer, and we do it with thanksgiving because this is God's will for us. That is what our Bible is saying, that this is how God wants us to face the trials and to live our life. To rejoice in the Lord always, to be gentle to all, to not be anxious because He's near, but to pray and with thanksgiving. And the Bible says if we do this, the peace of God will guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 26:3 says, you, O Lord, will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is steadfast because it trusts in you. Both Philippians and Thessalonians that we read are letters that were written by the Apostle Paul to churches and people that he kind of began gathering together. And these words that he writes are from God, and they're not just things that he wrote down for us, but they're also the way that he chose to live himself. For example, we see this in Acts 16, when we read that Paul and Silas, who were missionaries, prayed and felt like God was leading them to go to Macedonia to preach the gospel there. And so by faith, they follow God and they go. But Acts 16 tells us that while they were there, the crowd they were talking to suddenly turns on them, drags them into the city center, brutally attacks them like a mob. Paul and Silas are stripped and beaten with rods and severely flogged, it says. And it says they were thrown into prison and their feet were fastened in the stocks, all for preaching Jesus. But in Acts 16:25, it says this remarkable thing. It says that about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. After just getting beaten up in the streets and left almost dead and then thrown into prison, and now here they are that very same night having church in jail. Could I have had that kind of faith and devotion and mental strength to have done that? I don't know. To rejoice in the Lord, to pray to God and praise him after all that had just happened that day. But they did. This was the way that Paul lived his life. Whether it was a good day or a bad day, he was praying and singing hymns to God at midnight. And Acts 16 says, when he did, him and Silas did, the other prisoners began to listen. And then it says this, that a violent earthquake shook the foundation of the prison, and all at once the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Talk about a miracle. They praise God in the middle of their storm, being just persecuted and unjustly treated, yet they still praised God and prayed to him, would not give up their hope or their faith. And in the middle of the night, God came in power and he broke every chain and he opened every door. But the story's not done. For when the jailer who was in charge of guarding them suddenly sees everyone's chains are loose and the doors of the prison are open, he pulls his sword to kill himself, thinking that he had just allowed these prisoners to escape and he didn't want to face Rome for letting them go. That would have been a fate worse than death. But Paul and Silas are so filled in that moment with the mind and the heart of Christ that they don't think about themselves in that moment and run away, but they think about the jailer and what's going to happen to him if they do. And so they stay. They run up to the jailer, assure him that they're all still here. And the jailer can't believe it. He falls at his feet before them and he asks them to tell them about the God that they were just singing to. And so then they begin to talk to the jailer about Jesus, and they end up leading him, who was once their enemy, they lead him and his whole family to Christ, and they baptize them in the middle of the night. And then they return to their cell before morning. And that morning, completely miraculous, the authorities, who knew nothing of what had happened through the night, just decide to release Paul and Silas. They let him go. And if you can't see God in all of that, man. But I mention this story because Paul and Silas are putting into practice what we just read in Philippians and Thessalonians. They're living it. in their current anxiety and frustration in hard times. They look upon their problems and sufferings and even persecutions, and what do? They continue to rejoice in the Lord, sing praise to God at midnight. They didn't let their circumstance silence their praise, and they pray, and God immediately answers, and they are then gentle to the jailer and show him grace, thinking more about him than themselves, and God is able to work in that, and this relationship is formed, and as they give thanks for a new family that has now become part of the believers, the church of Christ, and then in the morning, God just releases them because the work is done. Think for a minute how different that night could have gone, you know, had they been just mad all night about what had happened to them, or defeated, or blaming God, look at what you allowed to happen to us. How different that night could have gone. But they rejoiced in the Lord. They prayed. They recognized a man who also needed Jesus. And the whole night became this amazing miracle. When bad stuff happens in our life, where is our head? We may not feel like praising God in the moment, but that's when we must. We may not feel like singing hymns or praying, but that's when the devil's trying to stop the miracle that will happen if we rejoice. We may not feel like being the guy, the nice guy to another who just got beat up and thrown into jail. But when we do keep showing the love and the grace and the gentleness of Christ, people see God and they want to be saved. And isn't that why we live? Isn't that what we hope our life is going to bring? Glory to God and people to Jesus. So we rejoice always. We be gentle to all. We don't be anxious, but we pray. We give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for us who are in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to just say a brief word on a few of these things. The first one I just kind of want to highlight just a little more is rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. What does that really mean? Well, it can mean singing a song of praise or hymn to our God like Paul and Silas did. But actually, more literally, the word rejoice means to be glad in, to take joy in. It means rejoice in Him, in who God is, and all that He's done for you. Be glad in that. When Jesus is the greatest thing in your life, then He still is, even after a bad day, you see. He's still the greatest thing. Everything might go wrong today, but praise God, I still got Jesus, and He loves me, and He can make some miracle out of my mess. So I rejoice in Him. I'm not alone. It's not hopeless. He's not leaving me, and He's always good, and He's the love of my life, and He never fails. My joy and my song and the most good of every day is Him. You see, I'm rejoicing in who He is and who I am in Him. That is my number one. That is how we rejoice in the Lord always, because it is not based on what is happening. It's based on who He is and the relationship that we get to have with God. The unfailing love and grace of God is there for us every day, every day. And He never lets us down. Paul and Silas were able to sing praise because Jesus was the joy of their heart. He was their number one, their very life and strength. He was their living water and their daily bread. And so after a tough day on the job, and they had one, they still had Him. And couldn't wait to rejoice in that, to spend time with Him, to praise God, because He is still God after today. And He is good, and a moment with Him is worth more than all the sufferings I can take. At the end of the day, I got God, and I get to think about Him and rest in His love and know that future that is coming. I got Him, and I can think about Him instead of just the pain, and that's pretty awesome. And that's really deep, you see, because you got to be honest with yourself and think about what is your joy. If you've made money your joy, well, then it's going to let you down. It's not always going to be there, and it can never really make you happy. If you've made success or other people's praise or your own comforts or your latest wants, your joy, well, then you're never going to stop chasing things, and you're never going to really find it, because it's going to come and go like the waves. Its joy doesn't last. For people will disappoint you, even really great people, and they won't always be there. They may even die. And success won't always come. Some days are stagnant and boring, and other days we just screw up and struggle and fail even. Some days we get sick, and some days we got accidents. But if Jesus is our joy, you see, if Jesus is our life, if Jesus is the reason and the greatest desire of our heart that we live for, and that we get our identity from, and our worth from, and our purpose, and the greatest love of our heart, then no matter what happens today, even if it's your worst fears, you will still have reason to rejoice, to be glad, because you got him. And he isn't going anywhere. And he's always and forever, and he's never going to let you down. And in him, you're eternally safe and secure. After a rough day, you always got him to come home to. And his love never fails. So I guess what I'm saying is, where is your joy? Where have you placed it? Rejoice in the Lord. Find your joy in him, in that relationship, number one. Then no matter if life is good or bad right now, it's good. You're able to still have joy in your heart because he's there. You can find beauty in a sunrise, contemplate the cross, reflect on scripture, or just the power of God that parted the seas or that was in the latest thunderstorm. You can take a sleepless night and turn it into a conversation with your creator. You can run to him and he is there. You can rest in him and know true peace. You can be challenged by him and find courage to do something new. Anything is possible because of Jesus. Paul says in Romans 8:17, we're more than conquerors through him who loves us. He says in 2 Corinthians 4, we got this treasure, you see, this treasure of all treasure in jars of clay, which is in us. For we are hard pressed on every side, but we're not crushed because we got him lifting the heavy stuff. We might be perplexed, but we're not in despair because we got him and he knows exactly what to do. We might be persecuted, but we're not abandoned down in this dungeon because he's right here beside us in every cold and dark place. And he opens doors and he breaks chains. And so we might be struck down, but we're not destroyed because he lives. And he lives in me. And the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead is going to raise us up. And so in this, I can always rejoice. When I first met Carrie, one of the things that drew me to her was her love for the Lord. When I first met her, I couldn't believe she said yes. She was so crazy beautiful, and I'm not. But the more I got to know her, I discovered her inside was even more beautiful than her outside. She has a heart that loves Jesus. She has just loved to spend time with her God and talk to him, to bring her hurts and tears and kids and me and other people she loves to the Lord. And she just is comforted by him. She adores him. When I met her at every lunch, she would go to her car, and that was her space. It was like her sanctuary every lunch hour, to get away, to sit at her master's feet with her Bible open and taking notes. She'd write letters to God. He was and is the joy of her heart. A number of years ago, Carrie and I attended a marriage conference. And at the end of one of the sessions, the speaker had each of us couples face each other and just look into our spouse's eyes and tell the other one what we loved about them. And I hate it when people put you on the spot like this, because I was not ready. And I looked like an idiot fumbling over my words, even though I am madly in love with this woman. How do I express it? Well, at first, I just started listing all the things that Carrie did for me. I love that you do this, or how you did that for our kids. And I do love all the things that she does for us. But deeper than that, I love Carrie not just what she does for me, but for who she is. I am in love with the person that I get to spend life with and go home to. This beautiful, amazing person that I'm still intrigued by and learning. Here's where I'm going with this. Carrie helped me see that she loved God, not just for what he does for her, but for who he is. Life may not always go like we want, but God is always good. And running to him is the joy of our day. Resting in the truth of who he is our peace and what makes life so abundant. We begin to see him in everything. He's the giver of all good things. You see, I had to grow up and learn that I love my wife for more than what she just did for me, but for who she is. So too, I had to grow in my faith that I love the Lord for more than just what I think he does for me or what I want him to do for me next, but I love him for who he is, just him. The beauty and the wonder, the goodness and the holiness, the power and the glory that is our God. Rejoice in the Lord. Find your joy in him. Second thing, though, I wanted to highlight in this scripture is where it says, let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. It was gentleness and meekness and grace that caused Paul and Silas to see the person behind the jailer in the story in Acts 16 and to be concerned with what's going to happen to him if we all leave this cell. They were sensitive to that, so they stayed behind for him. And that was the grace which allowed God to do the even greater miracle. For when the jailer saw what they did for him, he wanted to know about the God they served. Because who does that? And this really speaks to me. Because Paul and Silas were concerned about the person around them, not just focused on all the bad stuff that happened to them or what might come next. And I know in my life, when I'm upset and anxious about something, one of the first things to go is gentleness, patience, and grace with other people. I'm worried. I'm scared right now. I'm overburdened by something. Probably have done it to myself, but I'm in a hurry again, and I'm upset, and I'm consumed by what happened or what I fear will or what I feel needs to get done right now. And that's all I'm thinking about. That's all I see, that I don't notice the people around me and what they might be going through or what kind of day they maybe just had or what my attitude right now might be causing them. It's only about me. Anxiety has a way of stealing all our focus, to take our mind off of God and how incredible and big and in control he is, and we run over people we love. We become self-centered, quick-tempered, bossy, rude to anyone in our way who isn't doing what we want or need or think should be done. We're easily offended and irritated, critical and judging, when really we are just tired, upset, angry about a great many things. My day hasn't gone best and still got lots to do because others didn't do something or because I scheduled more than I could handle and I'm worried about this or that, and then I go home and it's still all on my mind and my wife asks me something and I snap at her. It's not her fault. It's mine. Or my son has a question, but I don't got any energy left to think. That's my fault. I need to give my worries to God so I can be there for them. Or someone texts or calls and they don't know what kind of day I've had or what I'm bothered by, and I text back something that's kind of mean when they just needed someone to talk. Gary in our men's Bible study read something recently to us, how we all need to remember that we don't know what other people are going through. We haven't walked in their shoes and they haven't walked in ours. So be careful how you treat one another. The word gentle means meek. It means consider others more than yourself. Don't lay a heavy burden on them. Remain kind in a difficult or stressful situation. Be patient. Stay loving. Philippians 4:5 says, let your gentleness be evident to all because the Lord is near. Earlier in Philippians in chapter 2, Paul speaks in more detail about this. He says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion that you've received from him, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value the other above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but the interest of others. In your relationships, have the mind of Christ. And that's really what's being said in our scripture for today, is that when we come to God and rejoice in him and not be anxious but pray and give thanks, he will give us peace which passes understanding. And it says, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We'll have his peace and mental focus where it needs to be for what is next, and that we don't end up hurting the people that we love who may need us. Or like in Paul's case, we don't miss the miracle of salvation that was going to come to that jailer and his family. So don't let the anxieties in your life rule your life and heart. Give them to God. Know his peace so that you can be gentle with those around you. And then the last thing I wanted to mention from our scripture is that it says in prayer, we bring our requests to God with thanksgiving. And I've been struck lately just how many Bible verses call us to be thankful, to not be the complainers and grumblers in the room, but people who see the goodness of God all around us and are thankful, even for the little gifts. We may have some really heavy prayer items today, but can we also see the good things about today that God has given? We may have some real needs, but do we also see what we have? I love how Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable, if anything is excellent, think about these things and the God of peace will be with you. Think about them. Bring them from the back of your mind to the forefront of your mind. Count your blessings. Don't just see the bad, see the good. Our mind seems to focus more on our problems than solutions or blessings. We have to work at it to be a more positive thinker, to be more full of faith than fear, more of an encourager than a discourager. See the beautiful. You remember my Israeli guide Murad and what he told me the last time on our trip over there. I've mentioned it a few times, but it was when I was being me, being anxious in a hurry and only seeing the schedule. And he came up to me and he stopped me and he said, don't let the group see you anxious, and don't be anxious, for we'll get there when we get there. But if you are anxious, they'll only see you and be distracted and anxious themselves and not enjoy where they are. You're in the Holy Land, he said. Then he said, don't miss the beautiful. It's easy to. Our mind is like goes towards the blemish and not the beauty. We see the problem or the problem person and not the person helping us. We see the worry or what went wrong and not all that has gone right today. We pray for what we want, but we don't thank him for what we have. Even for this moment of just being together or for his word or the sky and the land and the home that we live in or the day and the season that it is or the time that we get with our kids, or the trip to see my parents, or the car that is running okay today, or the job that provides the family, the friends, the church, and on. Don't miss where you are. You'll get to where you need to be eventually. Right now, don't miss the beautiful of today. Learn the secret of being content. Remember all God is. Think about the good things. See all that you have. Find the beautiful because it's there all around you. I grabbed some groceries this week and it seemed like everyone in the store that I passed was smiling and saying hi. And I left and felt, that's pretty cool. You know, I saw all the people who came to help. I saw the moment I had to talk with my dad on the phone. Don't miss today. I think of the story of Mary and Martha when Jesus came to visit in Luke 10. It says that Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And at one point she came to the Lord and complained and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? Tell her to get up and help me. For Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his teaching. Well, the Lord said to Martha, "Oh, Martha, you're worried and upset about a great many things, but few things are really needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her. Rejoice in the Lord. Be gentle to all. Don't be anxious. Pray and give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Have a wonderful Sunday. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.